from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad, which we would like to have brought you earlier, but both of my colleagues went off to the restroom.
Huh? I had a little rest for a wee while.
For a wee while. And they're both back now, I think.
I'm back. I bet that naughty Rachel isn't.
Nah, that naughty Rachel disappeared.
It takes women ages, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know.
All that.
And they have to carry their handbags, go with their friends.
Yeah, do a bit of chatting, shake and vac, everything.
Anyway, part two of Postcard from Pop Brad is on its way, because we've lost Rachel at the minute, but we'll try and get her back in a second. She's been too long in the bathroom.
She's not fallen down the U bend, has she?
I think she...
Because she's only little, you know.
Yeah, I think she'd have to phone the fire service to get back.
Yeah. I found something in my toilet. It looks like a Rachel.
No, I know what it is. I know what it is. She's fallen down the toilet to get blokes out in uniforms.
Get blokes out of the uniforms.
Anyway, before the break, we asked you, could a dead man get arrested for robbing a bank? Reason being, a man has turned up alive nearly 20 years after he disappeared and has been told he can't have a driving licence because he's still legally dead.
I think this is amazing. I think this is incredible because this actually happened to a friend of mine.
Really?
Yes, I had a very good friend. He's what was described as a cabinet maker. Basically, what he did, he didn't fake, but he made reproduction furniture.
Right.
And he was of hippie proportions, of that way of being.
Yeah.
And he was doing quite well for himself. I'm not going to name him, obviously.
No, one shouldn't.
He was doing quite well for himself. He actually lived in a castle in Wales. That's how well he was doing.
Mm.
And he created his own aviary of rare birds and everything. But the one thing he had made his mind up to do was to vanish from society. He paid no tax. He claimed no benefits. He didn't do anything.
Right.
And that worked fine for him until he reached 65.
Right.
And he discovered that he actually no longer exists either.
Yeah.
He can't claim pensions, he can't claim benefits, he can't get rent help, he can't get anything. It's actually by disappearing from society, and I think this is a reflection on society more than on him, he now is destitute. That's a tragedy, and
well,
that's what can happen.
This 61-year-old went to court in America, in Ohio, to apply for a driving licence and to have his social security number reinstated.
Yeah.
But in 1994, he was considered dead because he hadn't been around for so long. And because of the way the law is there, he's currently still dead.
I think that's fine. What it should be questioned is, how can society decide you are dead just because you don't bother to allow it to see you?
Yeah. When the judge even said, it's obvious that you are in good health and you're sitting in the courtroom, but you're still dead as far as the law is concerned. So, I mean, if he's dead as far as the law is concerned and he walks into a bank and says, give us $5,000 and just nicks it, if he's dead, what are they going to do about it?
Well, actually, that actually brings you down to the invisible man, doesn't it? He is the quintessential invisible man.
Yeah.
So he could go in and rob a bank. And then say, it wasn't me, I don't exist.
Yeah.
It's a philosophical thing, you know. It's all that whole, if a tree falls in the forest, that whole thing.
Yes.
You know.
If you clap your hands in the forest, does it make a noise?
Right.
Yeah.
Or if a tree falls in the forest, do the other trees make fun of it?
Oh, my word.
Well, I don't think we should leave that and move on.
Yeah, I think we're barking up the wrong tree, Lee. Lee, there's something in the water this week with girls, you know. Because the girls in the office have been silly all week.
Silly? Why? What?
Well, taking...
It's a full moon.
Is it what?
Mm-hmm, it's a full moon.
Is it?
What? What's the full name?
Full moon, you idiot.
Full...
Have you...
And I think we've got the same moon as you, so,
yes.
It's a full moon.
Women are just silly anyway.
No, hang on a minute.
We can't help being silly.
So is the moon upside down in Australia?
Yes, if I want to see it how you see it, I've got to stand on my head.
The connotation of that and knowing the back garden that you've got, I've just got this vision of...
But if you do, don't wear a skirt, Rachel, though.
I'd have my serious head standing jeans on.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, let's move along to Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the bush kangaroo, who turned
Skippy.
Up... Tell us the story, Rach.
Oh, it was so sad, and it was he was a male grey kangaroo, but he was a little baby one.
Oh.
And this poor kangaroo got hit by a car next to Melbourne Airport.
Right.
And he bounced his way across the tarmac, across the runway, and made his way, I don't know how, but he somehow got inside the terminal and bounced his way to the pharmacy to get some first aid.
Good.
What was up with him? What had been hurt?
He had a cut on his leg, and I
thought
poor little.
There was some internal damage as well.
Was it his top legs or his bottom legs? Well, no, because his top legs wouldn't hurt very much because they're only little. His big bottom legs could be terrible.
Yeah, it was his bottom legs, and I think there were some cuts and whatnot all over him, really.
Oh.
But he got stonked by a car, which isn't unusual here. We can run into a kangaroo just about every day if you try hard enough.
What, the same kangaroo? That's a bit cruel.
Yeah, they were doing nasty jokes. Honestly.
It's a hazard. When we drove from Queensland to Darwin, we had to be really careful not to drive after the sun went down and not drive before the sun came up, because it's a real road hazard. You're doing 130-odd kilometres an hour, and a roo jumps out, and they get startled by your headlights, and they just stand there, and it's like hitting a concrete wall. I've hit one before, and it's really bad. It can break your car off.
And actually, we have the same problem here, Rach. Seriously, we have the same problem with deer, where you're blasting down the motorway, which is the same speed limit, 130K, and deers just wander out in front of people. And some of the accidents have been really horrific.
That's when you hit one and you go,
oh,
the deer.
Yeah, right.
It's not very good for the kangaroo or the deer. Funny thing round here, as people know, I live in the village of the damned.
Mm.
And round here, there are a lot of deer, and they do get knocked down and are found then by the side of the road or in the field where they've tried to get away. And inexplicably, in the village of the damned, it is now rumoured that these damaged animals are actually being done by werewolves.
Oh, please. Oh.
No, it's true. I'm only saying it's a rumour. I'm not saying
please.
It's true. But all the people, all the village idiots who live in the village of the damned, right, have put it down to werewolves.
Yeah.
Werewolves of the village of the damned.
No, it's called Werewolves of London. How? Werewolves of London. That one. But anyway, we move along. So do we know what happened to the roo?
Yes, we know what happened to the roo. He was shepherded into a corner by the people who came to rescue him.
Oh.
They threw a little blankie over him, and then they took him away for treatment. And he was named Cyrus after one of the people that rescued him. And he's been treated, and he'll be put back in the wild.
Oh, did they get him a little?
But he's all right.
Did they get him a little Lee Bear as well?
A little Lee Bear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Do they have to pay? Like, if you're going to, like, an emergency treatment, say, at a pharmacy, at an airport, do you have to pay?
Only if you purchase goods.
Did he purchase that? I'm just wondering if he had a little purse inside his little pouch. And...
Well, he wouldn't have a pouch because he was a boy. So
they don't have pouches.
Boys don't have pouches.
What do they have?
Nothing.
Nothing?
They've got the equipment. Stop it! So the roo's okay. At the end of the day, his health is coming along leaps and bounds.
That's correct, Diane.
Kangaroo now. Why is it going? That's on the side of the plane, isn't it? The flying kangaroo.
Yes.
When I heard this story, I thought, he's got a glimpse of the shadow of the Qantas logo, which is the flying kangaroo, and he's looked at it and gone, "Mummy!" and headed for it. But no, sadly, he was looking for first aid.
So anyway, moving along, boys and girls, many of you will have heard of the story of Nessie in Scotland.
Amazing, I know that one.
So Nessie in Scotland. Everybody's sort of, you get the lunatics who go, there's a Nessie, and then you get the scientific people who go, don't be silly. Don't be silly.
Excuse me. How can you say that Nessie is a complete figment of imagination? I now must defend all the village idiots in the village of the Dun and say that you are being very rude about them and they're werewolves.
Well, anyway, we now know.
Just found one.
We now know that the 5-meter-long carcass.
How big's that?
What, 5 meters?
Yeah.
It's 5 metres.
About 18 foot?
Yeah, about 18 foot.
That's a big sea serpent, that, isn't it?
It is, really. So anyway, we can just put this whole thing to bed because Nessie has clearly moved to California because a 5-metre-long silvery carcass of a giant oatfish.
Oarfish.
I do beg your pardon, darling.
Oatfish. Can you have them for breakfast?
Yeah. Giant oatfish. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Oatfish. Yeah, we've got a bit of cream cheese on it. It's
yeah, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? So anyway, this chappie was... this lady was snorkelling in California.
That's what I've been doing with man flu.
Yeah, exactly. And spotted this thing in the water. She kind of dragged it out for about 20 metres or so, and then she needed oodles of people to try and help her out, to get this enormous great fish out, which is one of the kind of fish that, it created the sea serpent legends, really. And it was an enormous great thing. And the reason they're a bit of a weird fish is they dive so deep into the sea that they are very rarely seen on land. So I've come to the conclusion...
But he's a fish!
Yeah, he's got no legs.
The fish is a fish, that's why he's seen in the sea and not on the land.
And he had no tail.
What was this woman doing, dragging it out by its tail? It was only having swing by.
It was dead.
Well, I saw it in the ocean, I wouldn't be dragging it anyway. I'd be pelting towards the shore and go, ah!
Yeah, I wonder how many fish and chips you could make with it.
Oh, then I'd call Triple O and go, help me, Mr. Fireman, there's a big fish in the water.
In the sea. There's a fish in the sea.
There's a fish in the sea. Oh, dear. So anyway. Oh, dear. Anyway, the good news is, for Nessie, it died of natural causes.
Oh.
Bless it.
It was in its little seabed when it went.
Yes, it was. Anyway, number ones. Number twos.
Terrible.
Number threes.
This is a serious story.
What's a number three?
That was exactly what I asked him. He says it's a boom.
It's a boom.
Not a badoosh. A boom. You know when you go badoosh like that. He doesn't. He goes boom.
A man has been seriously injured after a toilet exploded in his face. He claims to have been checking the water pressure in his New York apartment. I'm suggesting he was talking on the great white telephone. We all know that, what that means. Anyway, apparently this guy's had to have 30 stitches in his face, arms, and legs. It's not funny at all.
No, it's not. Makes you laugh, not it?
Can I turn my microphone off so I can laugh?
Yes.
So, but apparently the water had been turned off the day before and three others have exploded.
And now it's incredible, isn't it? It's actually a build-up of gas.
Is it?
That's
because
so...
what's happened is they've turned the water off. Yeah. The gas in the building has built up inside the gentleman's ablution sitting down bits. And then when you flush it, there's a spark created by the mechanism inside the header tank,
yeah,
right, that then makes a little spark. That flies off down through those little holes in the side of the big white telephone and makes the gas explode. That blows you head off. You shouldn't have your head off down there, should you?
Well, no, that's very true. But it does beg the question, why has a restaurant been launched in China which serves its food in tiny toilets? You sit on a toilet at the table, and even the condiments are toilet-shaped.
Well, it cuts out the middleman, doesn't it?
Because it's the restaurant is owned by Mr. Lu.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very good. But no, seriously, there's a restaurant being launched in China where the whole thing is based around toilets.
I think that's a really good idea.
I think it's completely potty.
Oh, she's going to flush another one out in a minute.
I can't think of any toilet jokes.
Oh, come on.
You!
I'm trying desperately.
Goodness sake. A university plans to build... is a toilet show. Plans to build three types of toilets. One for men, one for women, and another one for transgender people, so that all students feel welcome.
Good on them.
What?
What?
Good on them.
What?
Good on them. Why? How can that be good on them? I have plenty of friends who are transgender. We actually have listeners to this programme called Transgender, and my introduction alludes to transgender people. And there's nothing wrong with transgender people. But this surely must be an insult to the basic sexes of men and women that we now... Why? What is so special? Is it because they don't know which way to go? Obviously they know which way to go, because they're transgender. Yes. They have move from one gender to the other, so they should be allowed to use the toilets like normal people, because that's what they are.
Yeah, actually, I think this is really almost sitting on the edge of racism.
I agree with you 100%. This is actually pointing out people's differences in a completely stupid and actually ridiculous way.
And I'm just wondering.
They don't have to use it.
No, and I'm just wondering how difficult it would be, being serious for a minute, you've got a transgender person
that's
obviously going to suffer from the mickey being taken out of them quite a lot anyway. They're not going to use the loo for fear of being picked on again. So they're going to use the girls or the boys one. And so therefore, this whole thing about having three loos is a complete waste of taxpayers' money.
I couldn't agree more, and I just think it's a ridiculous decision and an insulting decision. Mm. All transgender people, stand up and be counted, and write to this university.
Or sit down, as the case may be.
Well, yes, of course, sit down, or stand up and face the wall.
Whichever.
Hands on your knees.
So yeah. I think you guys should all write to the student union at the University of Sussex in Brighton and tell them they're numpties.
Numpties. Numpties, numpties.
Yes, I think so. Another numpty story.
Numpties sat on a wall.
get this, there's this wonderful guy in the UK who, for a cancer charity, every year dresses up his house for Halloween. It's got sort of, you know, plasticky skeletons, corpses, cobwebs, and the usual sort of stuff there. He's been told to tone it down.
What, have you seen the pictures of it?
Yes.
Have you seen the pictures?
Yes.
They are quite gory, but only in the sort of gory way that you get in the House of Horror at Madame Tussauds and things like that. Yeah. There is, you know, I actually had, this is a God's honest truth, I bought a load of shop dummies. And for some inexplicable reason, maybe because I was a space cowboy, I put them on my roof
monkey.
As a band.
Space monkey.
I'm a space monkey.
Yep.
I am a space monkey. I have a monkey on my head, a monkey on my back. And that I put this band on the roof, playing guitars, playing drums, and everything. Looked funny. Everybody loved it until the parish council saw it and they complained about me doing that. I think this is terrible.
Well, the ridiculous thing is, James Crichton had the police knock on his door. They said they were very sorry, and I can understand that. But they'd had a complaint, not numerous complaints, complaint. What? From a member of the public who walks past the house in the morning. I suspect they're taking the child to school, and apparently this one child cries every time they walk past the house. There's a solution. There's a solution.
Tell that kid to grow up.
No, walk on a different road.
Or blindfold the child.
Blindfold the child, yeah.
Take a different route to the school.
Yeah, say la 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 while you're going past. Yeah, do anything to distract it. This bloke's done nothing wrong and he's doing it for a good reason.
Absolutely.
You know what? This whole helicopter parenting thing that really irritates me. This hovering helicopter parenting, this neurotic parent is now going to make their child neurotic.
Exactly.
And it makes me absolutely furious. I hate it. It's one of my pet peeves on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I agree. The bloke says it's gruesome, it's a bit gory, but that's what Halloween's about. It's meant to be fun and scary. Exactly.
So I wonder if this child will be allowed to go out and do the Americanism trick or treat.
And frighten some old age pensioner to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Anyway, Mr. Crichton, sir, we commend you for raising money for a cancer charity. Good luck to you. I wish you all the best. And if anybody's in Stevenage in Hertfordshire, go and have a look at Mr. Crichton's house and donate some money. And apparently he's had, because of this ridiculous story, which is actually quite good, he's now getting donations from as far afield as the US and Mexico, which is really good. And if anybody else feels like it, look him up on the internet. You can't really miss it. He's from Stevenage in Hertfordshire, and it's James Crichton, and he's got the house that looks like the Mosh
name, isn't it?
Yeah. go give him some money. The unpaid babysitter's being told off again.
What to say?
These always make me go because I'm a parent of a teenager.
Yes.
So yeah, go on.
Well, go on then. Let's have the view of another teenage parent.
All right. Well, there's this whole business about children only having certain privacy settings, or having certain privacy settings, and only certain things are allowed to pop up feeds.
Yep.
And now they're thinking of changing these rules so that they have more access.
Right.
And they have less restrictions.
Yes.
Restrictions.
But
and so there's a couple of different little loopholes here that have always bothered me. My daughter set up a Facebook page back in the day.
Mm.
And she was way too young to do so on somebody else's computer when she wasn't in my care.
How old was she?
She was 12, but she just all she did when she set up the profile was put in a dodgy date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So that way she could set it up. It's like, no, you can, I mean, you know, it's like getting a fake ID or something. Mm. Well, not a serious, but you know what I mean?
Carry on, Rachel, sorry.
No. And then the whole business of Snapchat. We've talked about Snapchat before.
Mm.
And the bullying and so forth that goes on with Snapchat and everything else, then, you know, all these Snapchats and you know, Twitter and everything else popped up. And so there's always a way for them to sort of get around the privacy stuff.
Mm.
But Facebook opening up these, like, lifting restrictions on things purely for market share?
Yep.
Absolutely. So of course it is, yeah.
But the important thing is, Rachel, if you were there, as I would be making sure that in the same way as my child wouldn't run across the road unsupervised, if they go onto the interweb, they have some supervision.
You can't say that, though, can
Why?
You?
Why?
You can't be there.
Why?
Because young people spend hours and hours and hours, and you can't be there monitoring everything they're doing. There's a very telling point in it that Facebook are going to warn minors opting out to be more... Facebook will warn minors opting to be more open than they are. Oh, I can't say this. That they are exposing themselves to broader audiences. Well, the fact is that Facebook all obviously realise the potential danger of what they're doing.
Yeah, I know.
And are going to allow it anyway, for, like Rachel says, because of market share. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely despicable.
Right, quick one on market share. There's a huge tablet war going on in the UK, which is an absolute joke. Because first you had Tesco's coming out with a price point for a tablet. Now we've got Argos coming out with a price point for a tablet. And I'm serious, boys and girls. I went to a local shop in Poprad where you can get a very similar device with a very similar specification for less than both Tesco's and Argos. What is all the fuss about?
Why does that happen? Why can you buy them cheaper in Poprad than you can in Stafford?
Well, maybe because they're getting more aware of prices. And there was a huge story this week that vinyl records are making a comeback in the UK.
Yay!
Vinyl records are making a come. They've got 0.8% of the market share in the UK.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
0.8% of the market share.
Well, that's really 1%. They've got 1% of the market share. It's a defunct thing. It's something that has been lost in the eons of time to people. Oh. That wonderful feeling of actually holding a piece of vinyl which represents your music to you, and all the joy and all the excitement of holding one of those things and listening to it on a 33 1/3 turntable is an incredible experience. Which has been lost to everybody.
He's missed one adjective out.
What was that?
Warm.
Warm. You know what? It's a really tactile experience. Oh. I must say.
And it is.
It is. It's a tactile experience. And do you know what I used to love about them? Because it reminds me of when I was really little and my dad used to tell me to put a record on.
Yes.
And I'd pull it out of the sleeve and the smell of it, the smell was like, you know, it just bats you in the face, and it's brilliant. And that, you know, just gently putting the needle, oh, my God, it's so cool. I'm so happy about this.
I think you're right, because the problem with CDs and your, I think, what you stick in your ear and stuff like that is that, yes, the clarity and the crispness of the sounds that you listen to are far superior to those you got on vinyl, but they do not feel like they're being played by human beings. They feel like they're being played by machines.
My dearest colleagues, back in the day when one had two vans and I had to have two vans to cart a mobile roadshow around, the reason being I needed two vans is because the records weighed so much. They were over the legal limit if you didn't have two vans. And that's why I look like a monkey and have arms down by my knees from carrying these stupid great things into places where I was playing the music for people.
Eric, your hands should be down by your knees, not your arms.
My arms are down by my knees. My hands are underneath.
Now it's the best of both worlds, because the guys who do what you used to do can now carry it all on one device if they're out to work.
Yes.
But when they get home, they can kick back, chuck on vinyl, and it's just awesome.
So basically what you're saying is what I used to say several years ago as we come to the end of part two. It's very good for me to whip out a 12-incher for the girls.
Hey!
Precisely what I'm saying.
Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, Lee.
See you later, everybody. Bye-bye. That was Postcard from Poprad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.